tea, dear?
Oh, I don't really feel like it.
Would you prefer a drop of vodka?
No. It's not every day I drink vodka. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's so close today. How long have we known each other?
How long? Oh, Lord, help my memory. Let me see now. When was it you moved up round here? Sonia's mother was still alive then. The two winters before she died, you used to come and see us. Well, that's 11 years ago, isn't it? Perhaps it's more than that.
Have I changed much since then?
Oh, yes. A lot. You were a handsome young fellow in those days. Now you've got older, you're not so good-looking as you used to be. And another thing, you like a glass of vodka every so often.
Yes. Now, in 10 years, I've become a different man. And shall I tell you why, Nanny? Because I'm overworked. Mm. Now, I'm on my feet from morning to night, never get a minute's peace. And at night, I lie in bed terrified of being dragged out to see some patient. In all the time we've known each other, I've not had one single day off. Now, it's no wonder I'm getting old. Anyway, I find life here so boring and senseless and sordid, you just get swallowed up by it. You're surrounded by cranks. Mm. Now, cranks they are, the lot of them. And once you've spent 2 or 3 years with them, before you know where you are, you gradually turn into a crank yourself. There's nothing you can do about it.
Oh,
look at this great moustache. Ridiculous thing. You see, I'm a crank now, Nanny. Now, I'm not stupid yet, thank God. My brains are still where they ought to be, but I don't care about things the way I used to. I don't want anything, I don't need anything. I'm not even fond of anyone. Except perhaps you. When I was a child, I had a nanny like you.
Perhaps you'd like something to eat.
No. Shortly before Easter, I went to Malitskoye. They had an epidemic there, typhus. And the huts were packed full of sick people lying around in heaps. Filth, stench, smoke, calves lying on the floor with the sick, and pigs, and I was slaving away all day. Never had a minute to sit down, nothing to eat. And then I wasn't even allowed to relax when I got home. Brought in a signalman from the railway. I put him on the operating table, and he went and died under the chloroform. And just then, when I least wanted it, my feelings began to thaw out. I had this awful conscience, as if I killed him on purpose. I sat down, closed my eyes like this, and started thinking. I wondered if, in 100 years' time, the people we're trying to prepare the way for will remember us and think well of us. And they won't, Nanny.
People may not remember, but God will.
Thank you. That's very well said.
Yeah.
Ah, Vanya. Had a good sleep?
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Ever since the professor and his wife arrived, the routine here has completely gone to pieces. I'm sleeping when I shouldn't. Eating all sorts of exotic rubbish for lunch and dinner. Drinking wine. It's so unhealthy. Before, I never had any free time. Sonia and I never stopped working. Now, Sonia does all the work. I just sleep and eat and drink. It's not right.
I don't know. I think it's wicked. The professor doesn't get up till 12. And the samovar's on the boil all morning, waiting for him. Before they came, we always had dinner at 1 o'clock, like everybody else. But since they've been here, it's more like 7. The professor sits up all night, reading and writing. And then, when it's nearly 2 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden he rings his bell. I think, good heavens, whatever is it? And it turns out it feels like some tea. So, you have to go and wake people up and put the samovar on. It's wickedness.
Are they staying here long?
Forever. The professor's decided he wants to settle down here.
You see what I mean? That samovar's been on the table for 2 hours already, and they've gone for a walk.
Here they are.
Here they are, not to worry.
Splendid, splendid, beautiful scenery.
Oh, yes, yes, it's remarkable, isn't it?
We'll go and look at the forestry plantation tomorrow, Father, if you like.
Just in time for tea.
My friends, would you be good enough to send my tea into the study? I still have a few things I must get done.
I'm sure you like the plantation.
Oh. It's hot and stuffy. But I see the great mind has his overcoat, his galoshes, his umbrella and his gloves.
Evidently he looks after himself.
But she's lovely. Lovely. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Well, I'm going for a drive through the fields, honey, or walking in a shady garden, or just contemplating this table. I feel quite ravished with joy. The weather is delightful. Birds are singing, and here we all are, living in peace and harmony. What more could one wish for?
Tea.
Oh, infinitely obliged to you.
Her eyes. She's a wonderful woman. Talk to us, Vanya.
Ah, what is there to talk about?
Is there nothing new?
Nothing. Everything is old. I'm just the same as ever. Worse, possibly, since I've become so lazy. I do nothing. Except grumble like an old sour grape. And as for Mammon, she's still burbling like an old parrot about the emancipation of women. One foot in the grave, the other striding towards the dawn of the new life she thinks she'll find in all those philosophical tracts of hers.
And the professor?
And the professor sits, as usual, in his study, writing all day and halfway through the night. With tortured mind and furrowed brow, we tirelessly compose, but never hear a word of praise for us. Or for our prose. I feel sorry for the paper he writes on. He'd be better off writing his autobiography. A marvellous subject. There he is, you see, a retired professor, an old misery, a kind of educated haddock. He's got gout, rheumatism and migraine, and envy and jealousy have gone to his liver. Well, anyway, this eminent haddock lives on his first wife's estate, not because he wants to, but because he can't afford to live in town. He never stops moaning about his misfortunes, although, in fact, he's been exceptionally lucky, incredibly lucky. He is the son of an ordinary parish clerk, educated at a church school. And he's managed to get honorary degrees and a university chair, so that he's now Your Excellency, son-in-law of a senator, and I don't know what else. However, all that's irrelevant. What you've got to consider is that that man has been lecturing and writing about art for 25 years without understanding the first thing about art. For 25 years he has been mulling over other people's ideas about realism, naturalism, all that sort of nonsense. For 25 years he has been lecturing and writing on subjects which are already familiar to the intelligent and which are of no interest whatsoever to the stupid. In other words, he has spent 25 years flogging a dead horse. And he's so conceited. He's so pretentious. He is retired. No one's ever heard of him. He's totally unknown. So all he's done for 25 years is keep a better man out of a job. Well, you wouldn't think it to look at him strutting about like God Almighty.
Anyone would think you envied him.
Well, of course I do. And look how successful he is with women. More successful than any Don Juan. His first wife, my sister, a lovely, gentle girl, pure as a blue sky, warm-hearted and generous, had more suitors than he had pupils, and she loved him as the purest angels love beings as pure and beautiful as themselves. My mother adores him to this day. He still fills her with awe and reverence. And his second wife, Yelena, who is a very beautiful and intelligent woman, married him when he was already an old man and sacrificed to him her youth, her beauty, her freedom and her grace. Whatever for? Why?
Is she faithful to the professor?
Yes, unfortunately.
Why unfortunately?
Because her faithfulness is a complete travesty. It's just an empty gesture. There's no logic in it. She actually thinks it's immoral to be unfaithful to an old husband she can't stand. But to try to suppress her youth and liveliness, oh no, nothing immoral about that.
I don't like it when you say things like that. Whatever next? Anyone capable of marital infidelity is quite
untrustworthy. The sort of person who might betray his country.
Dry up, Waffles.
Oh, excuse me, Vanya. My wife ran away from me with the man she loved the day after our wedding because of my unsightly appearance. But notwithstanding, I have never failed to do my duty. I still love her. I'm faithful to her. I help in every way I can. I've spent all my money on the education of the little ones she had had by the man she loved. I may have lost my happiness, but I've kept my pride. Whereas she has lost her youth. Nature's laws have caused her beauty to fade, and the man she loved is dead, so what has she got left?
Nanny, there's some peasants here. Could you go and talk to them? Yelena and I will look after the tea.
You know, Yelena, I've come to see your husband. You told me in your letter he was very ill, and rheumatism, and something else as well. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with him at all.
He wasn't well last night. He was depressed and complaining of pains in his legs. But he is all right today.
And I've driven flat out for more than 20 miles. Oh, well, there we are. It's not the first time. Tell you what, I'll stay the night here to make up for it. Catch up on all the sleep I need.
Oh, good. That's excellent. Well, it's not often you spend the night here. I don't suppose you've had dinner, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, have dinner with us then. We usually have it about 6:30 nowadays. Oh, come and sit at the table, Grandmother. Oh, this tea's cold.
Yes, the temperature in the samovar has dropped quite noticeably.
Oh, never mind, Ivan Ivanich. We'll drink it cold.
I beg your pardon, my name is not Ivan Ivanich. It's Ilya Ilyich Telyagin, or, as I'm sometimes known because of my pockmarked face, Waffles. I stood godfather at Sonia's christening, and His Excellency, your husband, knows me very well. I live here now on your estate, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but I dine with you every evening.
Ilya Ilyich helps us. He's our right-hand man. There, let me pass you another cup, godfather.
Oh.
What is it, Grandmother?
I forgot to tell Alexander. My memory. I had a letter today from Kharkov, from Pavel Alexeyevich. He sent me his new pamphlet.
Interesting.
It is interesting, but it's rather curious. He seems to be attacking the precise theory that 7 years ago he was supporting. It's terrible.
There's nothing terrible about it. Drink your tea, Mammal.
But I want to talk.
We've been talking and reading pamphlets for 50 years. It's about time we gave up.
You don't like listening to what I have to say. I can't think why. If you'll forgive me for saying so, Jean, you've changed so much over the past year, you've become almost unrecognisable. You used to be a man of principle. Your ideals were so inspiring.
Inspiring? You just tell me who was inspired by them. Inspiring. You couldn't have made a more vicious joke if you'd tried. I'm 47 now. Up until last year, I was like you. I deliberately tried to delude myself with all that pedantic rubbish so I wouldn't see life as it really is. And I thought I was doing the right thing. But now, you've no idea what it's like. Night after night, I can't sleep. I'm so frustrated and angry. It was so stupid to waste all that time when I could have been getting myself all the things I'm too old for now.
Uncle Vanya, this is very boring.
You seem to be blaming your former principles for something. It's you that's to blame, not your principles. You forget that principles by themselves are just empty phrases. They're meaningless. You should have made an effort. Then you might have got somewhere.
Got somewhere? Not everyone is cut out to be a non-stop writing machine like your Herr Professor.
And what exactly do you mean by that?
Grandmother, Uncle Vanya, please.
I'll say no more, say no more. Sorry I spoke.
It's a lovely day. Not too hot.
Lovely day to hang yourself.
Play us something, Waffles.
Oh, certainly.
Nanny, what did those peasants come about?
Oh, same as usual. Asking about that wasteland again.
Which one are you looking for?
Well, that speckled one's gone off somewhere with her chicks. I'd better look out for the crows, or they'll get them.
Is the doctor here?
Yes.
Will you come along, please, Dr. Astroff? They've sent for you.
Who has?
The factory.
Oh, that's all I needed. Oh, well. Suppose I better go. Damn you.
thousands.
What a pity. Well, come to dinner anyway when you're finished at the factory.
No, it'll be too late. Oh, I couldn't really. Now, where's my cap? Listen, my friend, could you get me a glass of vodka?
Doctor?
Where's my cap? Ah, there it is. In one of Ostrovsky's plays, there's a man with a large moustache and a tiny mind. Me. Now, may I wish you all...
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yelena, if you care to drop in on me one day, with Sonia, perhaps, I'd be very pleased to see you. It's a small estate, only about 80 acres, but you won't find anything to touch my model orchard and nursery for hundreds of miles around, if you're interested in that sort of thing. I'm next door to the government forestry plantation. The forester there is an old man and he's always ill, so, in fact, I'm the one that really looks after it all.
I've been told before that you're very keen on forestry. I'm sure it does a lot of good, but... doesn't it get in the way of your real vocation? I mean, you are a doctor.
God alone knows what a real vocation is.
And is it interesting?
Yes, it's interesting work.
Fascinating.
I mean, you're still young. At least you look young. You can't be more than 36 or 37 at the most. I'm sure it can't be as interesting as you say it is. It's just a whole lot of trees. I should think it must be rather tedious.
No, it isn't. It's very interesting. Dr. Astroff plants new trees every year, and he's already been awarded a bronze medal and a diploma. He does everything he can to prevent the old forest from being destroyed. If you listen to him talking about it, you'll see how right he is. He says that forests make the land beautiful, and that they enrich the mind and teach people to understand what beauty is. Forests make the climate less severe. And in the countries where the climate is mild anyway, people don't have to waste so much energy struggling against nature, and it makes them kinder and gentler. Well, they're beautiful as well, and sensitive and tolerant. Express themselves elegantly, and their movements are graceful. Art and science flourish in their countries. Their philosophy is not defeatist, and their attitude to women is extremely courteous and refined.
Wonderful! That's all very charming, but it's totally unconvincing. So, my friend, you will have to allow me to go on using logs in my stoves and wood to build my barns.
You can burn peat in your stoves and use stone to build your barns. All right, I don't mind you cutting wood if you really need it, but why destroy the forests? The forests of Russia are falling to the axe. Millions of trees are dying. Birds and animals have nowhere to live anymore. The rivers are draining away and drying up. The most beautiful scenery is disappearing forever. And all because people are too lazy and too stupid to bend down and pick their fuel up off the ground. Don't you agree? Only a mindless savage would burn up all this beauty in his stove and destroy what we're incapable of creating. Men have reason and creative ability so they can make more of what's given to them. But so far they haven't been creative, they've been destructive. There are fewer and fewer forests, the rivers run dry, wildlife is annihilated, the climate's ruined, and every day the land gets poorer and uglier. And you stand there, Vanya, looking at me sarcastically. You don't take anything I say seriously, and maybe I am just a crank. But when I walk past the peasants' woods, which I saved when they were going to be cut down, and when I hear the rustle of young trees, which I planted with my own hands, I realise that to some extent at least I can control the climate, and that if people are happy in 1,000 years' time, I will have made some small contribution towards it. When I plant a young birch and watch it turning green and swaying in the wind, my heart is full of pride.
Your vodka, Doctor.
Ah, thank you. Anyway, time I went. I probably am a crank. Good day to you all.
Goodbye.
Well, when are we going to see you again?
No idea.
Well, we have to wait another month.
You've been behaving outrageously again, Vanya. What was the point of annoying your mother by talking about non-stop writing machines? And you had another argument with Alexander at lunch today. It is all so petty.
I can't help it if I hate him.
There's no reason why you should hate Alexander. Just the same as anyone else. No worse than you.
If only you could see your face. Or the way you move. The apathy. I don't know how you manage to stay alive. You're so apathetic.
Yes, I am. Apathetic and bored. Everyone abuses my husband.
I can see the pity in their eyes. They all think, poor woman married to an old man like that. I know exactly what it means, their sympathy. It's what Astroff was saying just now. You're wantonly destroying the forest, all of you, and soon there'll be nothing left on Earth. And it's the same with people. You're wantonly destroying them, and soon, if you have your way, there'll be no loyalty, no integrity, and no self-sacrifice left in the world. Why is it you get so upset when you see a woman who doesn't belong to you? The doctor's right. It's because you all have some devil of destruction in you. You have no mercy on the forest, or the birds, or women, or each other.
I don't like all this moralizing.
The doctor has a tired, sensitive face. Interesting face. Sonia obviously likes him. She's in love with him. And I can see why she is. He's been here 3 times since I arrived, but I'm so shy. We've never had a proper talk, and I haven't really been very welcoming. He must think I'm very sour. You know, Vanya, I think the reason you and I are such good friends is that we're both so profoundly boring. Boring! Don't look at me like that. I don't like it.
How else can I look at you when I'm in love with you?
Please.
You are my happiness, my life, and my youth. I know there's no hope of your returning my love. No chance at all, but I don't want anything. I just want to look at you and hear your voice.
Somebody might hear you.
Let me tell you about my love. Don't send me away. That's all I want. It'll make me very happy.
I do hate all this.
Who's that? Sonia, is that you?
It's me.
Ah, it's you, Yelena. This pain. It's unbearable.
The rug's fallen on the floor. Oh. Shall I shut the window, Alexander?
No, it's so close. I fell asleep just now and dreamt my left leg didn't belong to me. And this appalling pain woke me up. It's not gout, you know. It's more like rheumatism. What time is it?
It's 12:20.
Have a look in the library tomorrow, will you? See if you can find an edition of Batyushkov. I think we have one.
Hmm?
Batyushkov. See if you can find that edition of his poems tomorrow morning. I seem to remember having one. Oh, why is it so hard for me to get my breath?
You're tired. This is the second night you've had no sleep.
There's a Turgenev developed angina pectoris from his gout. I'm afraid that may happen to me. Damn this old age, it's so vile and repulsive. Now I'm old, I even disgust myself. And you obviously all hate the sight of me.
Talk about being old as if it were our fault.
Especially you. You must hate the sight of me more than anyone. You're quite right, of course. I'm not a fool. I understand. You're young, healthy and beautiful, and you want life, and I'm old and half dead. Now, do you really think I don't understand? Of course, it's very obtuse of me to go on living, but Just have a little patience. I'll soon be liberating you all. Shan't drag on much longer.
I am exhausted. For God's sake, stop talking.
Apparently it's my fault that everyone's exhausted and miserable and wasting the best years of their lives. I'm the only one who's happily enjoying life, I suppose. That's it.
Why are you wearing me out?
Oh, well, I wear everyone out, don't I?
I can't put up with this anymore. Tell me, what do you want from me?
Nothing.
Then please, stop. Please.
If Vanya or his feeble-minded old mother have anything to say, it's all right. Everybody listens to them. But I've only got to open my mouth and everyone starts feeling miserable. You can't even bear the sound of my voice. I know I'm a disgusting, selfish tyrant. I know that. But you'd think I had some sort of right to look after myself in my old age. I've earned that, haven't I? I'm asking you a question. Haven't I got some right to a bit of consideration from others?
No one's disputing your rights. The wind's getting up. I'll shut the window. It's going to rain any minute. No one is disputing your rights.
You devote your whole life to academic work. You get used to your study and your lecture room and the company of your distinguished colleagues. And then suddenly, for no reason at all, you finish up in this morgue. Meeting the same stupid people every day and listening to their meaningless prattle. I want to live. I like success. I like being well known and fated. But here, it's like being in exile. Having to spend my whole time lamenting the past, watching other people's successes, and fearing death. It's too much. I can't bear it. Now they won't even forgive me for growing old.
Just wait a bit. Be a bit patient. In 5 or 6 years, I'll be old as well. Father, it was you who told us to send for Dr. Rastroff, and now he's come, you won't see him. It's not very polite. We've completely wasted his time.
What use is your Astroff to me? He knows no more about medicine than I do about astronomy.
Well, we can't very well send for the entire medical faculty to look after your gout.
Well, I'm not talking to that halfwit.
Just as you like. Doesn't make any difference to me.
What time is it?
Getting on for one.
I'm suffocating. Sonia, fetch my drops from the table, will you? Not those! Those. It's no use asking for anything.
Please don't lose your temper. It may work with some people, but please don't try it with me. I don't like it. Anyway, I haven't time for it. I've got to get up early tomorrow to see to the haymaking.
There's a storm brewing.
No.
There. See? Elena, Sonia, why don't you go to bed? I've come to relieve you.
No, don't. Don't leave me with him, please.
But you must let them have some rest. This is the second night running they've been up.
They can go to bed and you can go too, if you don't mind. Please, go for the sake of our past friendship. No arguments. We'll talk some other time.
Our past friendship?
Be quiet, Uncle Vanya.
Don't leave me alone with him, my dear. He'll talk me into the ground.
It's getting ridiculous.
Tanya?
You should be in bed, Nanny. It's late.
The samovar hasn't been cleared away yet. I can't go to bed.
Nobody can go to bed. Everyone's exhausted. Except for me. I'm deliriously happy.
What's the matter, dear?
Oh.
Does it hurt? No, my legs hurt, too. I've got this sort of shooting pain. Oh, it's your old complaint, isn't it? Sonia's mother used to stay up all night worrying herself sick about it. Loved you ever so much, she did. Now, old people are like babies, really. They like someone to feel sorry for them. But nobody has a kind thought for the old, do they? Come on, dear. Bedtime. Come along, love. I'll make some lime flower tea for you and warm your feet up and say a prayer for you.
Oh, there. All right, Marina.
Sonia? Yes. It's sort of a shooting pain it is in my legs. You know, Sonia's mother used to get so worried she used to sob her heart out over you. You were only a little thing then, Sonia. You didn't know what was going on. Come on, dear. Come along. Come on.
The there's something very wrong with this house. Your mother hates everything except her pamphlets and the professor. The professor is bad-tempered, he doesn't trust me, and he's frightened of you. Sonia is angry with him and angry with me. She hasn't spoken to me for a fortnight. You hate Alexander and openly despise your mother, and I feel desperate. Dozen times today I've almost burst into tears. Yes, there's something very wrong with this house.
Let's not have any moralizing.
Vanya, you're a civilized and intelligent man. You ought to know that the world's being destroyed not by fire and the sword, but by hatred, aggression, and all this pathetic bickering. Instead of just grumbling about it, you ought to try to make peace.
First, you must help me make peace with myself. Darling.
Oh, stop it. Go away.
The rain will be over soon. Everything out there will be revived and sigh with relief. But not me. I won't be revived by the storm. One thought haunts me and suffocates me day and night like some terrible phantom. That my life has been hopelessly wasted. My past is nothing. Time stupidly frittered away on trivialities. And the present is horribly futile. That's my life and my love. So far. What's the use of them? My love is wasted like a ray of sunlight falling into a pit. And so is my life. Wasted.
When you tell me about your love, it confuses me. I don't know what to say. I am sorry. Good night. Vanya.
And if you only knew how painful it is to think that next to me, in this very house, someone else's life is being wasted. Yours. What are you waiting for? Is it some insane theory that's stopping you? Try to understand. Can't you try?
Vanya, your trunk.
Possibly, possibly.
Where's the doctor?
In there. He's staying with me tonight. Possibly, possibly. Anything's possible.
You've been drinking again today, then? Why do you do it?
It gives me the impression I'm alive. Don't try to stop me, Elena.
You never used to drink and you never used to talk so much. Go to bed. I'm fed up with you.
Darling, you're
Leave
wonderful.
Leave me alone. Honestly, it's just disgusting.
She's gone. 10 years ago, I used to meet her at my sister's. She was 17 and I was 37. Why didn't I fall in love with her then and ask her to marry me? It would have been perfectly feasible. And now she'd be my wife. Yeah. The storm would have woken us both. The thunder would have frightened her and I'd have held her in my arms and whispered, "Don't be afraid. I'm here." A marvellous thought. Wonderful. Makes me happy just to think about it. Except, God, my mind's in such chaos. Why do I have to be so old? Why doesn't she understand me? I can't stand the pretentious way she talked, her empty moralising, all that superficial nonsense about the world being destroyed. I absolutely detest it. I really have been cheated. I used to worship that gout-ridden old misery. I worked for him like an ox. Sonia and I squeezed every penny out of this estate, haggling over linseed oil and peas and cream cheese like a couple of tight-fisted peasants. We've economised on food and scraped together everything we could lay hands on. Thousands of rubles we sent him. I was so proud of him and his academic career. He was the breath of my body. Everything he wrote, everything he said seemed to me evidence of genius. My God. Now look at him. Now he's retired. Consider the full achievement of his life. Not one page of his work will outlive him. He is totally unknown and nothing, a soap bubble. And I've been cheated. I can see it now. Like a fool, I've let myself be cheated.
Play something, Waffles.
Everyone's asleep.
Go on. Oh, on your own, Vanya. No ladies. Go. Dance my stove and dance my shed. Your master's nowhere to lay his poor head. Storm woke me up. Fair bit of rain. What's the time?
God knows.
I thought I heard Yelena's voice.
She was here a minute ago.
A handsome woman. All these medicines, prescriptions from everywhere. Kharkov, Moscow, Tula. He must have pestered every town in Russia with his gout. Is he really ill, or is he putting it on?
He's ill.
What's up with you today? Not feeling sorry for the professor, are you?
Leave me alone.
Oh, perhaps you're in love with the professor's wife. Is that it?
She's a friend of mine.
Already?
What do you mean, already?
A woman only becomes a man's friend in the following sequence. First, an acquaintance, then a mistress, and then a friend.
That's a very coarse theory.
Yes, well, I am getting rather coarse, I admit. Drunk, as well, you may observe. As a rule, I get this drunk about once a month. When I am, I become extremely rude and offensive. Also infallible. I can perform the most difficult operations with unerring skill. I dream up the most elaborate plans for the future. At the same time, I stop thinking of myself as a crank and imagine what I am doing is of immense benefit to mankind. Immense. And I devise my own philosophical system. And then from my point of view, all of you, my friends, are like so many insects. Bacteria. Oh, play something.
Oh, I'd be delighted to, my dear chap. Anything you say, it's just that everyone's asleep, remember?
Go on. A drink is what we need. Come on, I think there's some brandy left in there. And as soon as it's light, we'll go over to my place. What about it? One of my assistants always says that. What about it? Instead of what about it? Oh, he's a complete good for nothing. What about it then?
Uncle?
Oh, I must go and put a tie on.
I'll come with you.
I hear you've been drinking with the doctor again. Two of a kind. He's always been like that, and it's all very well for him, but I can't think what makes you do it. You should know better at your age.
I don't see what my age has to do with it. People have no real life. They have to live on illusions. It's better than nothing anyway.
The hay is all cut. It rains every day. It's all rotting. And you sit there, wallowing in illusions. You've completely abandoned the estate. I have to do all the work myself, and I've just about had as much as I can take. Uncle, you've got tears in your eyes.
Tears, I haven't. What do you mean? Rubbish.
You looked at me then just like your dear mother used to. Oh, my dear. Oh, my sister. My dear sister. Where is she now? If she knew. If she only knew.
What, Uncle? Knew what?
It's so hard. It's hopeless.
No.
Never mind. Later, perhaps. Oh, nothing. I must go.
Dr. Astroff? Not asleep, are you? Could I have a word with you?
Just a minute.
What can I do for you?
Look, by all means, drink yourself if you don't find it disgusting, but please, I must ask you not to let my uncle drink. It's not good for him.
All right. We won't drink anymore. Well, I'm off home now, so that's all settled. No need to worry. Oh. By the time the horses are harnessed, it'll be light.
It's still raining. Can't you wait until morning?
Well, the storm's nearly over. We'll only catch the tail end of it. I must go. Oh. And please don't ask me to come and see your father again. If I tell him it's gout, he says it's rheumatism. If I ask him to stay in bed, he sits up all day. And today, he wouldn't speak to me at all.
He's been spoilt. Would you like something to eat?
Yes, perhaps I will.
I enjoy eating in the middle of the night. I think there should be something in the sideboard. Apparently, he used to be very successful with women. I've spoilt him. Ah, yes, have some cheese.
Oh, I've had nothing to eat all day, just drink. Mm. Your father's a difficult man. Mm. Mm. May I? Mm. Mm. Oh, there's no one about, so I can say this frankly. Do you know, I don't think I could survive a month in this house. Well, the atmosphere would choke me. Mm. Your father's totally obsessed with his gout and his books. Uncle Vanya's obsessed with his misery. And then there's your grandmother. And your stepmother.
What about my stepmother?
Everything about a human being ought to be beautiful. Their face, their clothes, their thoughts, their mind. Well, she is beautiful, certainly, but you see, all she does is eat and sleep, wander about, fascinate us all with her beauty, and well, that's about all. She has no responsibilities. Everything's done for her. It's true, isn't it? And that kind of idle life must be wrong. Perhaps I'm being too harsh. I'm like your Uncle Vanya. I'm fed up with life. We're both getting very tetchy.
Are you fed up with life?
Well, life itself I love. The kind of life we lead. Everyday provincial life in Russia, I can't stand it. Fills me with contempt. As for my private life, God knows there's absolutely nothing good about that. See, look, when you walk through the forest on a dark night, if you can see even a small light shining in the distance, you don't mind how tired you are or how dark it is or the thorn branches that lash out at your face. Now, as you know, I work harder than anyone in this area. Fate is always lashing out at me. Sometimes it's almost unbearable, but there's no light shining in the distance for me. I've given up expecting anything for myself. I don't even like people anymore. It's years since I was fond of anyone.
Well, aren't you fond of anyone?
No, except perhaps your nanny. Oh. I do have some feelings for her, for old time's sake. And the peasants are all the same. Uncivilized, living in squalor. And it's a job to get on with the educated people. They wear me out. All our close friends have superficial minds and superficial feelings. They can't see any further than the ends of their noses. In fact, not to put too fine a point on it, they're fools. Oh. And the ones with a little more intelligence and depth are hysterical and morbidly introspective and self-obsessed. They never stop complaining. They're rotten with spitefulness and hate and slander. They creep up on you, peer at you out the corner of their eye, and then announce, he's a neurotic, or he's a windbag. And when they can't think of a label to tie around my neck, they say he's a peculiar man. He's very peculiar. And I'm a vegetarian. It's almost peculiar. They're no longer capable of any straight, uncomplicated, independent rapport, either with nature or with other people. Of any kind.
No, please. I beg you, don't drink any more.
Well, why not?
It doesn't suit you at all. I mean, you're so refined. Your voice is so gentle. But It's not only that. You're not like anyone else I know. You're so distinguished. So why should you want to do things ordinary people do, like drinking and playing cards? Oh, please don't. You're always saying that people destroy what God gives them instead of creating. So why destroy yourself? Why? You mustn't. I beg you, please don't.
I won't drink anymore.
Promise?
I promise.
Thank you.
Never again. I'm sober now. You see, quite sober, and I shall stay sober for the rest of my life. Anyway, as I was saying, my time has run out, and now it's too late. I'm old now. I wore myself out working, and I've become coarse and unfeeling. I don't think I'm capable of affection anymore. I don't love anyone. And I suppose now I never shall. The one thing that still moves me is beauty. It's the only thing that doesn't leave me cold. Your stepmother, for instance. I expect she could turn my head in a day if she put her mind to it. But that would be nothing to do with love or affection.
What's the matter?
Oh, it's nothing. Just before Easter, one of my patients died under chloroform.
It's time you stopped worrying about that. Tell me, Dr. Astroff, if I had a friend or a younger sister and you found out that she... I mean, well, suppose she was in love with you. What would you do?
I don't know. Nothing, shouldn't think. I'd somehow convey to her that I couldn't love her. I've got too many other things to think about. Anyway, well, I better go if I'm going. You better shake hands and say goodbye, my dear, or we'll be here all night. I'll go through the drawing room, if I may, otherwise I'm afraid your uncle will buttonhole me.
He said nothing to me. His real feelings are still a mystery to me, so why should I feel happy? Why? Oh, I said to him, you're refined and distinguished. Your voice is so gentle. Oh, my. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? His voice is so caressing. I can still feel it in the air. But when I talked about my younger sister, he didn't understand. Oh, how terrible it is not to be beautiful. I know I'm not beautiful. I know I'm not. Coming out of church last Sunday, I heard some people talking about me, and one woman said that she's such a nice, kind girl. It's a pity she's so plain. Plain. Storm's over. Beautiful air. Where's the doctor?
Gone.
Sonia?
Yes?
How long are you going to go on sulking? We've done each other no harm. Why should we be enemies? Can't we make it up?
I've been wanting to myself. Don't let's be angry anymore.
I am pleased.
Has Father gone to bed?
No, he's still sitting up in the drawing room. Sometimes we go weeks without speaking to each other. God knows why. What's all this?
Dr. Astroff's been having some supper.
Wine, too. Let's drink to our friendship.
Oh, well, yes, let's.
From the same glass. That's better. Now we're friends, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I've been wanting to make it up for ages, but somehow felt too embarrassed. And
what are you crying for?
I don't know. Oh, it's nothing. Don't cry. Come on, don't.
Now I'm crying as well. It's ridiculous. You resent me because you think my motives for marrying your father were suspect. Oh. I promise you, if my word means anything to you, that I married him for love. I was in love with his erudition and his fame. It wasn't real love. It was a delusion, but at the time I thought it was real. It wasn't my fault. But ever since the day we were married, you've been persecuting me with your clever, suspicious eyes.
Please, let's make peace, shall we? Let's forget about all that.
You shouldn't look at people like that. It doesn't suit you. You have to trust people, otherwise life's not worth living.
Well, tell me something, honestly, as a friend. Are you happy?
No.
I knew you weren't. There's one other question I want to ask you, but be frank. Don't you wish you had a young husband?
How naive you are still. Of course I do. Oh, ask me something else. Go on, anything.
Well, do you like the doctor?
Yes, it's very much.
I must look rather absurd, do I? Even though he's gone, I can still hear his voice and his footsteps. And when I look at that dark window, I can see his face in it. Oh, let me talk to you about it. Oh, I'm embarrassed here. I can't speak the words out loud. But well, let's go to my room. We can speak there. Oh, you must think I'm absurd. You do, don't you? Just tell me something about him.
What?
Well, he's so intelligent and so gifted. He can do anything. Looks after his patients and plants trees as well.
It isn't just a question of trees and patients. You must appreciate, my dear, he has a touch of genius. And you know what that implies, that kind of talent. Courage, independence and a far-reaching imagination. When he plants a tree, he tries to envisage what the result will be in 1,000 years' time. He already has a picture of mankind's future happiness. People like that are rare. We must treasure them. He drinks too much and he's a bit vulgar sometimes, but does that really matter? In Russia, you can't expect a talented man to come out completely untarnished. I mean, just think what sort of life that doctor has. Roads knee-deep in mud, freezing cold, snowstorms, enormous distances and coarse backward peasants of terrible poverty, disease everywhere. You can hardly expect a man who has to work and struggle on in conditions like that day after day to behave like a saint until he's 40. Sonia, I hope you'll be very happy. I really do. You deserve to be. Oh, I'm such a dreary, second-rate individual. No. At the conservatoire and in my husband's house and in all my relationships with men. In fact, in everything, I've always played a rather insignificant part, actually. Now, Sonia, if you come to think of it, I'm really very unhappy. There's no happiness for me in this world, none. What are you laughing at?
I'm so happy. I'm just so happy.
I feel like some music. I'd like to play something now.
Oh, yes, do. Oh, I couldn't sleep now. Do play something.
Your father's still awake. Music gets on his nerves when he's ill. Go and ask him if he doesn't mind. I'll play something. Go on.
All right.
I haven't played the piano for a long time. It'll make me cry.
Cry like a fool.
What did he say?
No.
The Herr Professor has graciously deigned to issue a decree that we should all assemble here in this very room at 1 o'clock today. Oh. It is now 2:15. He has an announcement to make to the world.
Probably some business matter.
And what does he know about business? All he does is write drivel, grumble and feel jealous.
Uncle.
All right, sorry I spoke. Look at her, swaying in the breeze. She's so lazy she can hardly stand up. Cheering sight, isn't it?
You never stop, do you? Droning away all day long. Don't you ever get tired of it? Dying of boredom. Don't know what to do with myself.
There are plenty of things you could do if you felt like it.
Such as?
You could give us a hand with the estate, you could do some teaching or look after the sick. There's plenty to be done. Before you and Father came to live here, Uncle Vanya and I used to go to the market ourselves to sell the flour.
I don't know anything about that sort of thing. And anyway, I'm not interested in it. It's only in improving novels that people go around teaching and ministering to the peasants. How can I suddenly start nursing and teaching just like that?
What I can't understand is how you can help wanting to do something. Why don't you try it? Soon get used to it. Don't be bored, dear. It's all very well you being bored and not knowing what to do with yourself, but boredom and idleness are catching. Look at Uncle Vanya. He does nothing but follow you around like a shadow. I keep abandoning my work, running off back here to have a chat with you. I've got so lazy. Seems to be nothing I can do about it. The doctor hardly ever used to come here. It was as much as we could do to get him here once a month. Now he comes over every day. He's given up his forestry and his patience. You must have put a spell on us.
Why are you so miserable? Now, come on, my dear, lovely girl. Just be sensible. You have mermaid's blood in your veins. You should behave like a mermaid. Let yourself go for once in your life. Fall helplessly in love with some sea god. Plunge headlong to the bottom of the sea and leave the Herr Professor and the rest of us dumbfounded.
Leave me alone. You're so cruel.
No, please, dear, please, my dear. Forgive me. I'm sorry. All right.
Try the patience of a saint.
Listen, as a token of peace and harmony, I'll fetch you a bunch of roses. I picked them for you this morning. Autumn roses. Beautiful, sad roses.
Autumn roses. Beautiful, sad roses.
September already. How are we going to live through the winter? Where's the doctor?
Oh, in Uncle Vanya's room, writing something. I'm glad Uncle Vanya's gone. I want to talk to you.
What about?
Oh, you know what about.
Now. Don't. Come on.
I'm so unattractive.
You have beautiful hair.
No. That's what I always say to unattractive women. You have beautiful eyes or have beautiful hair. Been in love with him now for 6 years. I love him more than I love my own mother. I think about him all the time. I hear his voice or feel him touch my hand. I wait here staring at the door. I keep expecting him to come in. As you can see, I keep coming to you just to be able to talk about him. He comes here every day now, but he never looks at me. He never even sees me. It's so hurtful. No hope at all. No hope. None. God, give me strength. Spent all night praying. I often go up and start talking to him and look into his eyes. Got no pride left. Haven't the strength to control myself. Yesterday, I blurted it out and told Uncle Vanya I was in love. And all the servants know I love him. Everybody knows.
What about him?
No, he never even notices me. He's a strange man.
Look. Why don't I have a word with him? I'll be very tactful. I'll just drop one or two hints. I mean, you can't go on living in uncertainty forever. May I, please? Good. Let's settle then.
won't be difficult to find out whether he loves you or not. Oh, no need to be embarrassed, dear. Don't worry about it. I'll ask him so discreetly he won't know what's going on. All we need to do is find out whether it's yes or no. If it's no, better stop coming here, hadn't he? Be easier if you didn't see him anymore. Now don't let's put it off. I'll ask him straight away. He wanted to show me some maps. Can you go and tell him I'd like to see him?
You will tell me the truth about it, won't you?
Yes, of course I will. However bad the truth may be, I don't think it's ever as bad as uncertainty. You can rely on me, my dear.
All right. I'll go and tell him you want to see his maps. Oh, no. It is better to be uncertain. At least then there's still hope.
What's that?
Nothing.
There's nothing worse than knowing someone else's secret and not being able to do anything to help them. He's obviously not in love with her. I don't see why he shouldn't marry her. She's not attractive, but for a country doctor at his time of life, she'd make an ideal wife. She's so intelligent and kind and genuine. Not that that's got anything to do with it at all. Poor girl. I understand her so well. Here in the middle of all this hopeless boredom, nothing but grey shadows floating around instead of human beings. Nothing but drab platitudes to listen to and people who can do nothing but eat, drink and sleep. Sometimes he appears so different from the rest of them. Handsome, interesting, stimulating, like a bright moon rising in the darkness. Well, it's easy to fall for the charm of a man like that and to forget yourself. I believe I may even be a little tempted myself. Yes. Yes, I feel bored when he's not here, and when I think of him, I find I'm smiling. Vanya says I have mermaid's blood in my veins. Let yourself go for once in your life. Well, maybe I should. To get away from all of you, your dreary faces and your talk. To fly away free as a bird and forget that any of you existed at all. But I'm such a coward. I'm so shy. I'd have a terrible conscience about it. He comes here every day now. I think I know why he does, and I feel guilty already. It makes me want to kneel down in front of Sonia and cry and ask her to forgive me.
Hello. I gather you wanted to see my masterpieces.
You promised yesterday to show me some of your work. Are you sure you can spare the time?
Yes, of course. Where were you born?
Petersburg.
And where were you educated?
At the Academy of Music.
No, I don't suppose this will interest you.
Why not? I admit I know nothing about life in the country, but I've done a lot of reading.
I have a table of my own in this house, in Vanya's room. And sometimes when I'm completely worn out and absolutely numb with exhaustion, I pack up everything, race over here, spend an hour or two amusing myself with all this. Vanya and Sonia sit there clicking away at the abacus, and I sit beside them at my table, playing about with my paints. It's warm and peaceful, and I can hear the crickets chirping. But I don't indulge myself in that very often. Not more than once a month. Now, look at this. This is a map of our district as it was 50 years ago. And these dark green and light green patches represent forest.
Oh.
You see, about half the area was wooded. Where there's a sort of red grid on top of the green is where elk and wild goats were common.
Right.
I show the fauna as well as the flora, you see. Now, on this lake, there were swans, geese and wild ducks. A power of birds, as the old peasants say. Enormous numbers of them flying in clouds. Now, as well as the various villages, there were all kinds of smaller settlements dotted around the place. As you can see, farms, monasteries, water mills. Also, a lot of cattle and horses shown by this blue colour. Around here, for instance, there's a lot of blue. Look, Now, that's all the horses we used to have. Right. 3 per farm, on average. Now, the next one down here, see, shows what things were like 25 years ago.
Oh.
By then, only a third of the area was wooded. There are no wild goats left, although there's still some elk. Now, the green and the blue patches are paler, and so it goes on. Now, have a look at part 3. A map of the district as it is today. Still the odd bit of green, but in isolated areas, not continuous stretches. And the elk, the swans and the grouse have all disappeared. And the old settlements, the farms, the monasteries and the water mills have all vanished without trace. In fact, it's the story of a gradual and unmistakable decline, which obviously only needs another 10-15 years before it's complete. Well, you may say that that's the march of civilization, that clearly the old ways of life must be replaced by the new, and I accept that. Now, if roads and railways had been built across the ruins of these forests, and if we had factories here and workshops and schools, well, the people would be healthier, better off and more intelligent. But you see, there's nothing like that in this district. Just the same old swamps and mosquitoes, the same lack of roads, the same poverty. Typhus, diphtheria, same number of fires. See, what we have here is the story of a decline caused by the overwhelming superhuman demands of the struggle for existence. A decline springing from a complete failure to grasp the situation, from the ignorance and backwardness of a cold, starving, sick man who instinctively and unconsciously, to preserve what's left of his life and to protect his children, just clutches at anything to ease his hunger and to keep himself warm and destroys everything without giving a thought to the future. And by now, almost everything has been destroyed and nothing has been created to take its place. I can see by your face that this is of no interest to you.
Don't really understand these things.
Well, there's nothing to understand about it. Just not interested.
Well, frankly, I've got something else on my mind. I'm sorry. I have to subject you to something of an interrogation, and it's a bit embarrassing. I don't really know where to begin.
Interrogation?
Yes, an interrogation, but nothing very frightening. It's about a certain girl. Let's discuss it, honestly, like friends, no beating about the bush. We'll discuss it, and then forget all about it. All right?
All right.
It's about my stepdaughter, Sonia. Do you like her?
Yes, I respect her, yes.
But do you find her attractive?
No.
Just a few more words, and it'll all be over. Haven't you noticed anything?
No. What?
You don't love her. I can see it in your eyes. She's unhappy. Please try to understand and stop coming here.
Oh, I'm too old for all that. Anyway, I've got too much work to do. I haven't the time for that kind of thing.
What a very uncomfortable conversation. Shaking as if I've been carrying a ton weight about with me. Anyway, thank God it's over with. Let's forget about it and pretend it never happened and just leave us. You're an intelligent man, you know why. See? I'm blushing.
If you told me a month or two ago, perhaps I might have considered it. But now, of course, if she's unhappy. There's just one thing I don't understand. Why are you so concerned about it? Now, that's what I call cunning.
What do you mean?
Very cunning. I mean, perhaps Sonia is unhappy, I believe that, but why should you want to tell me about it? Now,
well,
please spare us the injured innocence. You know perfectly well what brings me here every day. What and who. You know that perfectly well, so don't look at me like that, you little vixen. I'm too old for all that.
Vixen? What are you talking about?
All right, then, weasel. You beautiful, sleek weasel, after your prey. I've done nothing now for a whole month. I've abandoned everything to run after you, and you like that. You like that very much. And what more can I say? You've won. No need for any interrogation to find that out. I give in. You may eat me.
Have you taken leave of your senses?
Oh, not being coy, are you?
Oh, not as low and scheming as you think. I'm not. Honestly.
I'll go away from here today. I'll never come here again, but where shall we meet? Quick. Tell me. Where? Somebody may come in. Where? Quick, tell me. Oh, you're so lovely. You're wonderful. Let me kiss you.
No,
just let me kiss your hair. I love the smell of your hair.
I promise you.
No need to promise anything. No need to speak. Words are unnecessary. Oh, you're so beautiful. Your hands are so beautiful.
Stop it. Go away. You don't know what you're doing.
Tell me. Tell me, where can we meet tomorrow? Yelena, you can't do anything about it. We have to meet.
Please let me go. Leave me alone.
Come to the forestry plantation tomorrow, about 2 o'clock. All right? All right. Will you come?
Yelena, let me go. How awful.
Not to worry. Roses. Not to worry.
My dear Vanya, can't complain about the weather today, can we? Overcast morning, looked like rain, in fact, but now the sun's come out. Actually, it's turned out to be a beautiful autumn, and the winter looks like it's going to be all right, too. There's only one snag, the days are getting shorter.
Listen. Try and do everything you can to make sure my husband and I leave here today. Do you understand? Today.
What? Oh, yes. All right. Yelena, I saw everything.
Did you hear what
everything.
I said? I must get away from here today.
Been feeling very well, either, Your Excellency. Well, last 2 days I've been rather unwell. My head's not been all it might be.
Where are the others? I don't like this house. It's a labyrinth. 26 enormous rooms and people wandering off in all directions. You can never find anyone. Ask my mother-in-law and my wife to come here.
I am here.
Oh. Now, my friends, please sit down.
What did he say?
Tell you later.
Shaking all over. What's the matter? He said he wouldn't come here anymore. Is that what happened? Tell me, is it,
Sonia?
I knew it.
Well, one can put up with being ill when all's said and done, but what I can't stand is the way life is lived in the country. It makes me feel as if I've fallen off the earth onto some remote planet. Please sit down, my friend. Sonia? Yeah, she can't hear me. You sit down too, will you, Nanny? Now, my friend. Kindly hang your ears on the peg of attention, if I may coin a phrase, and concentrate on what I'm saying.
I don't suppose you need me. May I go?
No, on the contrary, Vanya, we need you more than anyone.
What do you want from me?
Want from you? Are you angry about something? If I've offended you in some way, please forgive me.
I can do without your apologies. Let's get on with it, shall we? What is it you want?
Oh, your own.
Mamma, here you are now. Good, sit down. Sit down. Oh. Now, my friends, I can begin. I've invited you here, ladies and gentlemen, to announce that a government inspector is on his way here.
Oh, thank you.
No. Joking apart, this is a serious matter. I've brought you here, my friends, to ask for your help and advice, which, knowing your invariable kindness, I hope I shall receive. I'm an academic and a bookworm. The practicalities of life have always been a mystery to me. I can't deal with these things. I need the guidance of experienced people. And that's why I'm asking you, Vanya, and you, Ilya Ilyich, and you, Mamma. But what I'm really, really trying to say is, manet omnes una nox. That's to say, we've all got to die. I'm old and ill, so I think it's time I put my property and my affairs in order insofar as they affect my family. My life is over. I'm not thinking of myself, but I do have a young wife and an unmarried daughter. It's impossible for me to go on living in the country. We're not cut out for country life. On the other hand, it's equally impossible to live in the town on the income received from this estate.
If we were to sell the forest, that would be an emergency measure. We obviously couldn't do that every year.
Yeah.
What we have to do is devise some plan which will guarantee us a permanent and more or less regular income. I have devised such a plan. And it is now my pleasure to submit it for your consideration. I won't bother you with the details for now. I'll just give you a general outline. Now, on average, our estate yields no more than 2% on its capital value. My plan is to sell it. Then, if we invest in interest-bearing securities, we should get between 4 and 5%, and there may even be a few thousand over, in which case we could buy a small holiday villa in Finland.
Just a minute. I think there must be something wrong with my hearing. Say that again.
I said we should invest the money in interest-bearing securities and use whatever's left over to buy a villa in Finland.
No, not Finland. Something else you said.
I suggested we should sell the estate.
Sell the estate.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. A brilliant idea that is. And what do you propose to do with me and my old mother and Sonia?
Well, that'll all be discussed in the fullness of time, first things first. Now...
Just a minute. I can see that up to now I haven't understood anything at all. Up to now, I've been labouring under the delusion that this estate belongs to Sonia. My father bought the estate as a dowry for my sister, and up to now, I've been very naive. I foolishly overlooked the fact that we were subject to Turkish law. I thought my sister's estate belonged to Sonia.
Of course it belongs to Sonia. Nobody's denying that. I wouldn't dream of selling it without Sonia's approval. In fact, it was for Sonia's benefit that I suggested it in the first place.
This is incredible. It's incredible.
What?
Either I'm insane or...
Jean, please don't contradict Alexander. You can take my word for it. He knows more than we do about what's right and what's wrong.
No. Give me a glass of water.
What is the matter with the man?
Go on. Say what you like. Say what you like.
Well, I don't understand what you're so worked up about. I'm not saying my plan is ideal. If you all decide it's misconceived, I'm not going to insist on it.
Your Excellency, I not only revere erudition, I have a sort of family feeling for it. You see, my brother Grigor's wife's brother, Konstantin Trofimovich Lakedemonov, I don't know whether you've heard of him. He's an M.A.
Not now, Waffles. We're talking business. Later, if you don't mind. Well, why don't you ask him? The estate was bought from his uncle.
Look, why should I ask him? What good would that do?
At the time, the estate was bought for 95,000 rubles. My father only paid 70,000 and took out a mortgage for 25,000. Now, listen, this estate would never have been bought at all if I hadn't given up my inheritance in favour of my sister, because I loved her so much. And what's more, I worked like an ox for 10 years and paid off the whole mortgage.
I wish I'd never started this conversation.
The only reason this estate is free of debt and in good condition is because of my personal effort. And now I'm old, I'm going to be kicked out.
I don't understand. What are you trying to say?
I have run this estate for 25 years. I've worked hard and sent you money. You couldn't find a more conscientious manager. And in all that time, you have not thanked me once.
What?
And from the time I was young until now, all that time, I've been getting the same salary. 500 rubles a year, a miserable pittance. And it's never once occurred to you to increase it by one single rouble.
How was I to know that? I'm not a businessman. I don't understand these things. You could have increased it by as much as you liked.
Oh, I suppose I should have stolen from you. I suppose you all despise me for not stealing.
For
it would only have been fair, then I wouldn't be a pauper today.
Jean!
Vanya, my dear chap, don't, please. I'm shaking like a leaf. What's the point of spoiling good friendships? Please, don't.
For 25 years, I've been buried in this house with Mother like a mole in a burrow.
Oh.
You were our only interest, our only preoccupation. All day we talked about you and your work. We were proud of you. We uttered your name in hushed tones. And we wasted all night reading books and periodicals for which I now have the most unqualified contempt.
I don't understand. What is it you're trying to say?
We used to think of you as some kind of higher being. We knew all your articles by heart. But now the scales have dropped from my eyes. I can see it all clearly now.
You write about art without understanding the first thing about it. Your complete works, which I used to admire so much, aren't worth the paper they're written on. You're an imposter.
Vanya, will you stop it now? I insist. Do you hear what I say?
I will not stop it.
Please, keep him quiet. I'm going.
You wait. I haven't finished with you yet. You have ruined my life. I've had no life. I've lost it because of you. I've wasted my best years. You're my worst enemy.
I really can't. I must go.
What do you want from me? How dare you take that tone with me? You, nobody. If the estate's yours, take it. I don't want it.
I must get out of this hell now. I can't stand it a minute longer.
My life is ruined. I am a man of talent, intelligence and courage. Under normal circumstances, I might have become a Schopenhauer or a Dostoevsky. Oh, what am I talking about? I must be going out of my mind. Mother, I feel so desperate. Mother!
You must do what Alexander says.
Oh, Nanny!
Mother, what am I going to do? No, never mind. Don't say anything. I know what I have to do. You won't forget me!
Jean!
Can't any of you do anything about this? Can't you get rid of that lunatic?
Oh.
I can't go on living under the same roof with him. As long as his room is there, he's practically on top of me. Can't he move into the village or the lodge? Or else I'll move. But I certainly can't go on staying in the same house.
We must leave this place today. We must start making arrangements at once.
Man's a complete no-good.
You must show some sympathy, Father. How come, Vanya and I are so unhappy? You must show some sympathy. Oh, and you must remember, when you were younger, Uncle Vanya and Grandmother used to sit up all night translating books for you and copying out your manuscripts all night. All night. Uncle Vanya and I never stopped working. We were afraid to send anything on ourselves. We sent everything to you. We're not parasites, you know. I'm not expressing myself very well. Not at all well, but you must try to be understanding. Father, you must show some sympathy.
Alexander, for God's sake, go and talk to him and make it up, please.
All right. I'll go and talk to him. I'm not accusing him of anything. And I'm not angry with him, but you must admit his behaviour is curious, to say the least. All right, I'll go and see him.
Are you trying to him?
Yes.
Try to calm him down.
Never mind, my child. These geese are cackling now, but they can't go on forever.
Nanny.
You're shivering as if you were frozen through. Poor little orphan. Don't worry, God is merciful. A cup of lime flower tea or raspberry tea, you'll be all right. Poor little orphan. Don't be sad. Oh, those wretched, silly geese. What a fuss they're making today. What happened next?
Stop him! Stop him! He's got me there! Stop him! Let go! Yelena, let go of me! Where is he? There he is. Oh! Missed. I haven't missed again, have I? Oh, hell and damnation. What am I doing?
Better hurry up and finish winding this wool, Nanny. They'll be calling us to say goodbye soon. Mm. I've already ordered the horses to be harnessed.
I'm nearly finished.
Yeah, we're going to Kharkov. To live.
best thing they could do.
Well, they've had a shock, you see. His Excellency's wife keeps saying, oh, I won't stay here another hour. We must get away right away from here. We'll stay in Kharkov for a bit, have a look around, and then send for our things. Mm-hmm. So they're not taking much with them. Seems they were never intended to live here, Nanny. It was never intended. Such are the edicts of fate.
Best thing they could do. After all that fuss we had this morning. And the shooting. It's wickedness, I call it.
Yes, subject worthy of the brush of Ivazovsky.
Well, it's not the sort of thing I'm used to. Now we can go back to the old life. Breakfast at 8, dinner at 1, and a proper sit-down supper in the evenings. We'll do everything as it should be done, like anybody else. Like any other Christian. Yeah. Yes, it's a good long time since I tasted noodles. God forgive me.
Yes, it's a long time since we had noodles in this house. Very long time. When I was walking through the village this morning, the shopkeeper shouted after me, "You old sponger!" I was very hurt.
You don't want to take any notice, my dear. Before God, all of us are sponges. But you and Sonia, Vanya, none of you sit around doing nothing. Mm. We all work, all of us. Where is Sonia?
She's in the garden with the doctor. They're looking for Vanya. They're afraid he might try to do away with himself.
Oh, where's his pistol?
I hid it. In the cellar.
What a muddle.
Oh, Vanya.
Leave me alone. Just for an hour or so. I can't bear being supervised like this. I think you better go.
Certainly, certainly.
Cackling away like a silly old goose.
Leave me alone.
I'd love to. I should have left here a long time ago, but I've told you I'm not going until you give back what you've taken from me.
I haven't taken anything from you.
Look, this is serious. Don't waste my time. Should have left ages ago.
I've taken nothing from you.
Sure. All right. I'm going to give you a bit longer, and then I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to use force. I'll tie you up and search you, and I mean that quite seriously.
Please yourself. How could I have been such a fool? To fire at him twice and miss both times. I'll never forgive myself for that.
If you really wanted to hit something, you'd have done better to aim at your own head.
I don't know. It's extraordinary. I've just tried to murder someone, but I haven't been arrested or charged with anything. I suppose they think I'm mad. If I'm mad, what about people who conceal their stupidity and complete lack of talent and sensitivity by passing themselves off as professors or academic wizards? Or women who marry old men and then deceive them in front of everyone? Nothing mad about them is that I saw you kissing.
Yes, and that's more than you ever managed.
And the world must be mad to go on putting up with you.
Don't be ridiculous.
What do you expect? I'm mad. I'm not responsible for my actions. I'm entitled to be ridiculous.
Oh, that's an old dodge. You're not mad. You're just a crank. An old buffoon. Now, I always used to think that cranks were ill or abnormal until I realised that to be a crank was man's normal condition. You're perfectly normal.
I'm so ashamed. If you only knew how ashamed I am. I have this terrible feeling of shame. It's agony. Worse than any pain. It's unbearable. What can I do? What can I do?
Nothing.
Can't you give me something? Oh, God. I'm 47. Suppose I live to be 60. That's another 13 years. It's such a long time. What am I going to do? How's the time to be filled? Listen. If only it were possible to
live the rest of one's life in some new way, to wake up one fine sunny morning feeling that it was a new life and that all your past was forgotten and had cleared away like smoke. A new life. How do I start? Tell me. Where do I start?
Shut up! In 100 or 200 years' time, people will despise us, having led such stupid, ugly lives. And perhaps they'll even find a way of being happy. But as for us, there's only one hope for you and me. The hope that as we lie there in our graves, we might see visions. Perhaps even pleasant visions. Yes, Vanya. Once, there were two decent, civilized men in this whole district. You and I. Oh, but 10 years of this futile routine existence was enough to break us down and infect our blood with its vile atmosphere. Now we are as mediocre as everyone else. Look, stop trying to sidetrack me. Give it back.
What? I haven't taken anything.
You've taken a small bottle of morphia from my medical case. Listen. If you're determined to do away with yourself, whatever happens, kindly go into the forest and shoot yourself there. But give me back that morphia, or else people will start gossiping and jumping to conclusions. They may even think I gave it to you. It'll be bad enough for me having to do your post-mortem. You think that's an entertaining prospect?
Leave me alone.
Sonia, your uncle has stolen a bottle of morphia from my case and he won't give it back. Tell him it... Well, it wasn't a very intelligent move. Well, anyway, I've got no time to waste. I must go.
Uncle Vanya, did he take the morphia?
Yes, he did. I know he did.
Give it back. What's the point of frightening us like this? Give it back, Uncle Vanya. I'm probably just as unhappy as you are, but I'm not giving way to despair. I put up with it patiently, and I'm going to go on being patient until my life comes to a natural end. And you must be patient too. Give it back. Dear Uncle, please. Give it back, please. You're a kind man. Pity on us and give it back. You must be patient, Uncle. You must be patient.
Here you are. Take it.
Good.
We must hurry up and start work, Sonia. We must hurry up and start doing something, otherwise I can't...
Yes, all right. We'll do some work. Soon as we've seen them off, we'll start doing some work. Oh, let everything slide.
Oh, good. I can go now.
Vanya, are you there? We're just about to leave. Could you go and see Alexander? He wants to have a word with you. Go on, Uncle Vanya. Come on. You and Father must make it up. It's very important.
Very well.
I'm going. Goodbye.
Already?
Well, the carriage is waiting.
Goodbye.
You promised me today that you'd go away from here.
Yes, I remember. I'm about to. Did you get frightened? Yelena, is it such a frightening thought?
Yes.
Why don't you stay? Why don't you? Tomorrow, at the forestry plantation.
No, it's settled now. And it's because it is settled and we're leaving that I can look you in the face. And there's only one thing I want to ask you. Please don't think badly of me. I'd like to think you respected me.
Oh, please stay. Look, you know very well there's nothing in the world for you to do. You've got no aim in life and nothing to occupy your mind.
So sooner or later, you're going to give way to your feelings. You know, it's bound to happen. It's far better for it to happen here, not in Kharkov or Kursk or somewhere, but here, out in the country. At least it's kind of lyrical here. No, it can even be beautiful in the autumn. Forestry plantations and all those Turgenev country estates are falling to pieces.
You really are an absurd man. You make me angry, but even so, I shall enjoy remembering you. You're an interesting man, original. We're never going to meet again. I don't see why I shouldn't admit it. I was a little bit in love with you. Now, let's shake hands and part friends. Don't think badly of me.
Yes, you better go. You seem kind and sincere enough. There's something strange about your whole character. You arrived here out of the blue with your husband, and all of us who were getting on with our work and pottering about trying to create something had to let everything go and devote our whole summer to you and your husband's gout. The two of you infected all of us with your idleness. I was fascinated by you. I've done nothing new for a whole month, and people have been ill, and the peasants have been grazing cattle in my woods, ruining my newly planted trees. So, you see, wherever you and your husband go, you leave a trail of destruction. I'm joking, of course, but all the same, it is strange. If you'd stayed here, I'm convinced there would have been some major catastrophe. No, it would have been the end of me anyway, and I don't suppose you'd have come out of it very well either. So you'd better go. Finita la commedia.
I shall take this pencil to remind me of you.
Strange, isn't it? We've got to know each other, and suddenly, for some reason, we're never going to meet again. That's the way everything happens in this world. Look, while we're still alone, before Uncle Vanya turns up with his bunch of flowers, let me kiss you goodbye. May I? There. Lovely.
I hope you'll be very happy. Well, all right. Just this once in a lifetime. I must go.
Go on then, hurry up. You better go if the carriage is waiting.
Someone's coming.
Finita.
Let's let bygones be bygones. After everything that's happened, I've experienced so much and had so many thoughts in the last few hours that I think I could write a whole treatise for the benefit of posterity on the art of living. I'm happy to accept your apologies, and you are pleased to forgive me as well. Goodbye.
You'll be getting the same regular amounts as before. Everything will be as it was.
Oh. Mamma.
Do have your photograph taken again and send me a copy. Mm. You know how precious you are to me.
Goodbye, Your Excellency. Don't forget us. Goodbye, Sonia. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for giving us the pleasure of your company. I respect your ideas, your enthusiasm, and your spontaneity, but allow an old man to add one observation to his valedictory message. No substitute for work. No substitute for work. All the best to you.
Goodbye, Elena. Forgive me. We'll never meet again.
Goodbye, dear Vanya.
Waffles, you might ask them to bring my carriage round as well, will you?
Certainly, my dear Jill.
Why don't you go and see them off?
Let them go. I can't. I feel so sad. I must get down to something right away. Work, some work.
They've gone. Bet the professor's pleased. No danger of him ever coming back here.
They've gone.
I'll be with them. Right, now, Uncle Vanya, time to start doing some work.
Work, work.
Ages since we sat at this table together. I'm sorry they've gone.
They've gone. Where are my pamphlets?
On the little table, Grandmother.
Oh.
The first thing Uncle Vanya is to make out the accounts. Let things slide terribly. One man sent in another demand for his account today. Start making them out. You do this slot and I'll do these.
Oh, bedtime.
So quiet here. Just the pens scratching and the crickets chirping. Very warm and comfortable. I don't feel like going at all. My carriage. It only remains now for me to say goodbye to you, my friends, and goodbye to my table, and be on my way.
Why are you in such a hurry? Stay a bit longer.
I can't.
The horses are ready, Doctor.
I heard them. Mm-hmm. Here, Waffles, take these out, would you? And careful you don't bend the portfolio.
I will.
Well.
When are we going to see you again?
Well, not before next summer, I shouldn't think. I don't suppose I'll be over during the winter. Of course, if anything happens, let me know and I'll come. Thanks for your hospitality and kindness. In fact, for everything. Goodbye, Nanny.
No. Not going before you've had some tea, are you?
I don't want any tea, Nanny.
Would you prefer a drop of vodka?
Well, perhaps. My trace horse has gone a bit lame. I noticed it yesterday when Petrushka was taking him to water.
You'll have to get him reshod.
Yes, I have to call in at the blacksmith's in Ruzdjezvenoye. That's all there is to it.
Here you are. Ah. Good health, my dear. You should have a piece of bread with that.
No, I prefer it like that, as it comes. Well, all the best to you, then. Don't bother to see me out, Nanny. I'll be all right. Goodbye, then.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. 2nd of February, 20 pounds of linseed oil. 16th of February, another 20 pounds of linseed oil. Buckwheat.
He's gone.
He's gone.
That makes 15, 25.
God forgive us all.
Forgive me.
Sonia, I feel so sad. If you knew how sad I feel.
There's nothing we can do about it. We must just go on living. We shall go on living, Uncle Vanya. We shall live through a long, long line of days and never-ending evenings. Whatever trials fate sends us, we shall put up with them patiently. We shall work for others now, and all through our old age, and never a moment's peace. And when our time is up, we shall die without a protest. And there, beyond the grave, we shall say that we have suffered and wept and that our life has been hard, and God will have pity on us. And then, dear Uncle Vanya, you and I will see a bright, clear, beautiful life. We'll be happy, And we'll look back at all this suffering and smile affectionately, and we shall find peace. And I believe that, Uncle, sincerely and profoundly I believe it. Hey, we shall find peace. We shall find peace. We shall hear the angels and see a whole sky of diamonds, and we'll watch all the evil on earth and our pain disappear, washed away by a compassion that will cover the world. And our life will be calm and gentle and warm as a caress. I believe it. I really believe it. Poor Uncle. Poor Uncle Vanya, you're crying. There's been no happiness in your life, but wait. Uncle Vanya, just wait. We shall find peace. We shall find peace. We shall find peace.
Uncle Vanya by Anton Chekhov, in the version by Christopher Hampton. Uncle Vanya was played by Neil Dudgeon. Astroff by Jeffrey Stretfield, and Sonia by Bryony Hanna. Yelena was Lindsay Marshall. The Professor, Anton Lesser. Marina, Polly Hemingway. Telyegin, Michael Burtonshaw. Mrs. Wojnicki, Maggie McCarthy. And the Worker was Clive Haywood. The guitar and the Russian guitar were played by Viktor Yunikovsky, and the director was Mark Beebe.